Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on this Monday, November the 23rd. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. The program, again, is called Today's Issues. Joining me to co-host today is Walker Wildman.
Good morning. Good to be on the show today.
Dr. Ray Pritchard.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Doing well, Ray. And Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir. We're here.
Ray's in Kansas City, and the three of us are in Tupelo, Mississippi, our national headquarters for American Family Radio. Weather report for Kansas City from our outpost
32, it's 32 degrees, and we got some sleet and maybe a little snow on the way this afternoon.
So, bike riding off.
It looks like it. It looks, yeah. I'm done riding on the ice. Been there, done that.
One time's all you need to learn your lesson, right?
That's exactly right.
On that one. Ray, for those who don't know, Ray had a bike accident, what, 3 years ago now?
Two years ago.
Two years ago. He had a patch of ice and broke your ankle or what else?
Yeah, let's see. I broke two bones and then dislocated my ankle, just basically messed up my left ankle awful. So, no, I'm not going bike riding this afternoon.
All right. Walker, tell folks how they can join us on the internet.
Yeah, you can visit our website, afr.net. You can also download the mobile app, the AFR mobile app. Lastly, we're on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. You can watch the show on Facebook or YouTube.
Okay, so we welcome you to join us on any of those outlets that Walker just mentioned. Brad, not a lot happening out there. I don't know what we're going to talk about today.
That's right. We're just going to take the week off and start the turkey early and all of that sort of thing. Well, the legal team for President Trump is not taking the week off. They're promising to start their filings this week as they challenge the results of the November 3rd election. But there was somewhat of a wrinkle that has developed in the last 24 hours. You may remember last week when the president's lead lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, gave a news conference last Thursday. And present were a number of the lawyers that were, everybody thought, part of the team, including them Sidney Powell. Now, she is Michael Flynn's lawyer, and she was there at the news conference. But last night, a statement that I guess confused some of us was issued by Rudy Giuliani. So I'm going to read that statement to you. Sidney Powell is practicing law on her own. She is not a member of the Trump legal team. She is also not a lawyer for the president in his personal capacity. That was the statement. Now, later, Sidney Powell issued her own statement, and I quote, "I agree with the statement today. I will represent we the people and seek the truth. I intend to expose all the fraud and let the chips fall where they may. We will not allow the foundations of this great republic to be destroyed by abject fraud." So those two statements put together have confused a lot of people as to, okay, what's going on? What's the motivation behind this? What's happening? Was she ever part of the Trump, formal part of the Trump legal team? Or is she on her own, doing her own thing for individual citizens?
That's why
a lot of questions.
That's why we have Walker here, friend. Come on, man. You just get ready for this answer. Listen to him. Walker, go ahead. Answer it, Fred, for you there.
Well, for the first time in a long time, I'll admit, I don't know what's going on here. You know,
I think I have a theory.
Yeah, there's a couple.
You go ahead.
A couple possibilities here. The window for the Trump campaign to make their case and actually score a victory for President Trump in the end, that window is narrowing, and it's narrowing fast. So I personally think, without any knowledge, any inside knowledge, that the route to legal victory is through Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis via the various mail-in ballot schemes and the lack of protocols in place to prevent voter fraud at the ballot box. Instead of this theory that Sidney Powell has been pushing forth, which may end up being true, I think the window for legal victory is narrowing, and they had to pick a path, and Sidney Powell was not in that path.
Right.
Well, that's got to be the answer, right? I think one thing we're discovering is that election law and election procedures, number one, they're very complex. Paper ballots are one thing.
Yeah.
Online voting is something else. Mail-in voting is something else. And we've got 50 different ways people can vote, right, depending on what state you're in. So I think what's happened here is that Sidney Powell, she has alleged massive conspiracy. Not just they didn't match the signatures here and there, right, but, I mean, she is alleging conspiracy on such a scale that it can, I would assume, can never be proven inside the time frame the president needs. So she's on her own. But I don't so much see this as President Trump's team throwing her under the bus. I think they're cutting her loose so she can do what she's going to do, and they can focus on what they think they can win.
I agree. I agree. My theory is just what you cited, Ray, just what you're thinking. This is good for all parties in terms of allowing them to do the jobs that they need to do at this particular moment in time. So I don't see this as throwing her under the bus. I see this as, she said, I agree with the statement. She's talking about Rudy Giuliani. So I think they had a clean parting of the ways, and let her try to prove her case, you know, independent of the president's legal counsel, which needs to be here and now, and whether or not they can prove enough voter fraud, Walker, to overturn Pennsylvania or Michigan, or put it in legal doubt.
Yeah, what Sidney Powell has alleged, and once again, it may be true and it may not be true, and if it's not true, then that in of itself is going to be very, very shameful that was put forth and it ends up not being true. But I'm not there yet. But what she is alleging takes months, if not longer, to prove, and it's really a criminal inquiry is what it is, so it really needs to be handled by the Department of Justice. But the window is so tight for President Trump to get a victory here that there's not time, in my opinion, to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt what she is alleging before the Electoral College meets in about 2.5 weeks.
No.
She gave an interview on the weekend, and I got to tell you, I kind of winced at some of the comments she made. Her kind of thrust has been that the Dominion machines are fixed so that it's changing votes. But she went beyond that in this Newsmax interview on the weekend. I want to play you a little bit of that. She alleged that the Republican governor of Georgia, Governor Kemp, and his Secretary of State, both Republicans, were on the take. Georgia purchased Dominion machines. And she was alleging that basically they took money underneath the table to get that contract. I want you to listen in her own words what she was alleging. This is cut number 8.
Georgia's probably going to be the first state I'm going to blow up, and Mr. Kemp and the Secretary of State need to go with it because they're in on the Dominion scam with their last-minute purchase or award of a contract to Dominion of $100 million. And another benefit Dominion was created to award is what I would call election insurance. That's why Hugo Chavez had it created in the first place.
Just to clarify, you're saying that Governor Kemp, who's been a longtime ally of the president, is directly involved because of financial benefit in the conspiracy to defeat the president in Georgia?
We have certainly been told that there is evidence of that, and it would warrant an investigation if anybody were actually going to do an honest investigation.
What more could you tell us about that alleged conspiracy? The governor's involvement?
I can't give you any more details on that now.
So she said that in this interview Saturday night. Sunday, less than 24 hours, we get the statement from Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, here's the thing with that. I don't put anything beyond anyone, you know.
Even me?
Well, anything, you're an exception. But as far as politics and pay for play and quid pro quo, look, after this whole Russia
you're saying
hoax,
Republicans or Democrats?
Yes, the swamp is the swamp, and it can affect anyone, even Republicans.
Gotcha.
So what she's saying, like I said, may be true, but you can't go on national television and make such an accusation, and then when asked for evidence, say I can't provide that. Hmm. That's just not how decency works. You can make an accusation against someone, but there must be evidence behind it, because we don't like when people do the same thing with conservatives and with President Trump, because they come out with a Russia hoax, and as it turns out, when asked for evidence, they said we have none. Well, they wouldn't say that.
When they went to court.
They wouldn't provide evidence.
Yeah.
So if you're going to make such a, basically make an accusation that the Georgia governor and the Secretary of State are colluding with a voting machine company to ensure that our votes are not counted, or the votes of Georgia citizens are not counted, if you're going to make such a claim, you better be able to back it up.
Well, she at one point was talking about the Chi-Coms, and then she had Hugo Chavez, Venezuela, a server in Germany. Now she's got talking about Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia and the Secretary of State. Pretty soon we're going to be pulling bodies out of a reservoir somewhere.
Right.
This, you know, Tim, you said in our pre-meeting, yeah, this sounds like a Tom Clancy novel.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I'm not saying it's not true. It's exactly what Walker's been pointing out. Everything she's saying might be true, but number one, it'll never be proven in the next 2.5 weeks, right? Maybe 6 months, maybe a year from now, even if it is true. So she's I don't blame the Trump team for cutting her loose. They had to.
No,
do that,
they didn't have a choice, in my opinion, for the reasons we've all mentioned here. And once she went after the governor and the lieutenant governor of Georgia, and their Republicans, especially the governor there, is basically being in on a bribery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scheme with the voting machines. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. And using terminology like blow up Georgia, is that what she said?
Yeah,
it's the first state she's going to blow up.
Yeah, right. With this evidence.
Even for president, even for a Trump campaign, that's probably over the top as far as language you can use at this point, and that be acceptable with 99% of the Republican Party. They talk like that. Just anyway, here's the thing. Just what you said, Ray. What Walker said. She will be now free to prove or not prove her allegations, but it will not be a part of the official challenges by the Trump campaign for the here and now. if she can't prove it, if I were her, I'd write a novel based on this whole story, and it would be a bestseller and a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. She is not one in her past, is Sidney Powell, given to, you know, these sort of wild accusations or circus-type atmosphere around her career. You know, she's basically a straight shooter.
Right.
So, and is very accomplished a lawyer. So, mm-hmm. I'm not willing to dismiss what she says altogether right now, because she still says she can prove some things, but let her do it, right?
Right.
And as far as accusations go, we have a standard, a biblical standard, Ray, don't we?
Right.
When we're making accusations against people, what would that be?
Well, the basic biblical standard is truth. You shall not bear false witness, right? So there's got to be truth. There's got to be witnesses. It's got to be verifiable. I mean, it's the principles that underlie what we call Western law, the whole system of Western law, that we believe in America, guilty or innocent till proven guilty, right? So despite what she said about the governor of Georgia, if indeed, look, politicians have been taking under the table payoffs for a long time, right? That happens many places. but it doesn't mean everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean the governor of Georgia's doing it. If she's got the proof, she's got to bring it out. Because it seems to me now she's gone so far out on a limb, her career now as a lawyer, her reputation, her character, all of that is at stake. And I agree. Some of the commentators on our Facebook page are saying she needs to present it in court. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
That's, you can't fight this kind of battle in the media, but I do think there's a danger of throwing stuff out there and then look, you might not even be able to get it to court for months, just the way the legal system works. There's a danger of talking too much, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Just real quickly, Fred, now I know you want to move on to the next story, but this has this whole thing is dividing people and dividing friendships and dividing conservatives to some extent. I think it'll heal and go away and everything like that. But if you now require verifiable evidence to support voter fraud or things that Sidney Powell is making accusations about, if you say I need evidence, a la Tucker Carlson, then many people who are on our side tell you that you're a sellout, right? And you're naive.
Right.
Right. And so that's, it's kind of like my, Allison, my wife and I, we have two different personalities on things like this. I'll say, I need evidence. I need verification. I need to know that this person did that, not just hearsay.
Right.
And she believes in that too. My wife, she believes in that too, but she'll also tell me, I can't prove it, but I'm telling you it's true. Well, so what is that? Women's intuition, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, so you have that part of it, and the people who say, I can't prove it, but I'm telling you it's true, because you don't believe it's true sometimes, I'm not saying Allison does this to me, but because you don't believe it's true sometimes, they go, really? It's right in front of your face.
Right.
And you don't see it. And you go, well, it may be true, but before I'm going to accuse somebody of bribery, taking a bribe, I think we need to have some evidence. So it's that kind of situation right now. So the best thing to do for all of us is, watch what Rudolph Giuliani and Jenna Ellis do in the next few days. I think they're, as you said, Walker, their time is narrowed to almost none. And then let Sidney Powell make her case. She claims she has all the evidence she could ever need to prove the accusations she's made. And if that's the facts, then she'll prove them in court. So nobody's dishonoring her word.
Right.
We're just saying, let's wait and see, right?
Right.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Go ahead, Ray. I mean, go ahead, Fred.
Yes. I think one thing we can all agree on is that the president right now is under extreme pressure to concede. Just put up the white flag, say it's all over, and help Joe Biden take over the Oval Office. Well, there was a reminder by Ari Fleischer, he was the former White House press secretary, that go back 4 years ago, 2016, did the Democrats put out the welcome mat for Donald Trump when he won the election in 2016? What did they do to Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump? Did they make life easy for him? I don't think so. Here's Ari Fleischer to take us down memory lane and take us to that point where the Democrats did everything possible to make life as miserable as possible for President-elect Donald Trump. Cut number one.
President Obama, Vice President Biden, James Comey, Andy McCabe, former CIA and NSA directors, they better understand that they are now reaping what they sowed. Put themselves in Donald Trump's shoes. The transition that they forced him to go under, the briefing that they held for him when he was president-elect, where they went to him with the dossier, and then immediately it got leaked to CNN. It set off 3 years of turmoil and commotion. The fact that the Vice President Joe Biden said use the Logan Act to prosecute incoming National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Do these Democrats not understand that they have created this with Donald Trump? So now they expect a perfectly seamless, smooth, traditional transition? People should put themselves in President Trump's shoes and understand why he might feel this way. They did it to him.
Yeah, and those who are demanding He conceded right away. Hey, some Republicans like Mitt Romney and others coming out publicly saying, no, you just need to concede and go away quietly.
Yeah. Well, look, the Democrats have no standing, if you will, to use a legal term. They have no standing to coach President Trump and the Republicans on how best to transition power or to how best to carry out a transition of power. Because they're the world's worst at it with the Russia hoax and everything else they did to divide our country with impeachment, so on and so forth. The best thing for the country is to let Republicans handle the transition, because typically Republicans are the ones to do things with integrity and how tradition and the system works. So, and this is, look, President Trump is still the president of the United States, and he will be until 12 o'clock on January 20th of 2021. And really there's no legal requirement for a transition to begin on November 4th, especially when there's ongoing litigation in various states across the country. If anything, you could make the case that, you know, on December 14th, after the Electoral College meets and they cast their votes, that's kind of the quote final say, and a transition should begin. But we're not there yet. We're just about 3 weeks after the election. So I think President Trump, should he need to concede, I think he'll do it when he feels that all of his legal avenues have ended.
Let me ask you a quick question here, guys. What would happen if, okay, just work with me here. What happens if President, or Joe Biden, becomes president in January, and then 6-8 months from now, or here from now, Sidney Powell comes up with the goods. I mean, it's proven that the fix was in. There was the voting machines were, you know, corrupt and so on and so on. What happens at that point? Does anything happen at that point?
Well, no, I don't think anything would happen to kick Joe Biden out of the president's office at that point. It'd be too late for that.
Right.
It's kind of like somebody who's sent to prison, even though they're innocent, they're still serving their time. Now that,
well, you can't undo that.
You can't undo that. Right. So I think what would happen there would be, if what she's alleging is true, a lot of people would be under investigation and some people would go to jail for crimes, but I don't think you can't.
As far as legal recourse, like what the Constitution lays out, I mean, you have impeachment and you have things like the 25th Amendment. But as far as someone who illegitimately made their way into the Oval Office, that's unprecedented that I'm aware of.
I don't think you could do anything
right.
Other than wait right. till the next election.
There's kind of an old saying, too. If the media doesn't report on it, it never happened.
You know, yeah, good point. That's true, Fred. Good that's point. What we're in right now. That is, you know, there's one quote that haunts me on this whole situation. And that is Hillary Clinton about 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, making the public statement that Joe Biden should not concede the election under any circumstances.
Yep.
You remember that?
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'm just going, that fits perfectly into the Sidney Powell narrative.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I mean, I'm just, am I the only one who can see that? It's just that for Hillary Clinton to say Joe Biden should not concede the presidential election, quote, under any circumstances.
All right.
That's what she said. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek of I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist.
Totalitarianism in its soft form is going mainstream right now, and unless we do something about it
now, it's going to overtake the country.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we've announced our dates for our Spiritual Heritage Tours for 2021. We'll be going in June and we'll be going in September. And folks are already signing up for these wonderful Christian heritage experiences. Now, we're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Wow. The history there is phenomenal. You're going to see so much when we visit those three sites. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. and George Washington's Mount Vernon. These are two separate tours, but they're back-to-back in case you want to do both of them. So again, those are in June and September 2021. People are already signing up. So if you want to be a part of these, the information is available to you at spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com. Everything's there.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Thousands of people across California took to the streets over the weekend, intentionally violating Governor Gavin Newsom's 10 p.m. curfew. Protests in 16 cities as citizens decry what they call tyrannical and government overreach. The governor said curfews are necessary to fight the China virus, which apparently only comes out after 10 o'clock. Congressman Tom McClintock took to the floor of the House of Representatives mocking the governor's orders, pointing out lockdowns do not save lives. He also mocked the governor for violating his own policy by eating inside a pricey restaurant without a mask. The situation is even worse in Los Angeles County, where churches have been forced to move their services outside. And starting Wednesday, you will no longer be able to eat inside or outside a restaurant. So don't be surprised if you see a surge in border crossings in the other direction. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, I hope you're aware of how many people you can have at your house for Thanksgiving. Huh? Walker, do you know how many? Are you coming over to my house? So
yeah, matter. I'm not going to disclose.
Well,
to the
you're coming over to my house, and here's how many people we got. I'm not going to say it on.
Put it under the table.
Yeah.
Okay. Think about gotcha. It. Yeah.
Well, it's a peaceful protest anyway, so it'll be okay, right?
Great idea, Ray. Great idea. If for some reason we're confronted by the sheriff's deputies about how many people we have at our house for Thanksgiving, which I doubt that's going to happen almost anywhere in America because sheriffs are saying we're not forcing this. Are you crazy? that we'll just call it a peaceful protest, right?
There you go.
So Fred, Fred, Thanksgiving in – we've already had Thanksgiving celebration in Canada, right?
We do it in October.
Okay, do it in October.
Before the snow comes, so but, we make sure everybody meets.
We got a bunch of governors telling people – how many people they can have over to their house, right?
Oh, huh? it is. Can you imagine, you know, great American tradition, Thanksgiving, everybody getting together, sitting around a table, you know, aunts, uncles, you know, cousins. Let's all get together. Everybody bring a dish and have a good time. Well, that's not happening in so many places. California, we've talked about. New Jersey. Here's an interesting development in all of this. There are now chiefs of police, sheriffs, who are saying to these governors, we're not going to enforce this. This is absolute insanity. One of those is in Howell Township, chief of police there. This is what he had to say about the restrictions and what...
What state?
That's in New Jersey.
Okay.
All right. So here's what he had to say. Howell Chief Curtick what he's going to do with these restrictions. Cut number four.
Our community is hurting. I live here. I grew up here. I shop here. I go out to dinner here. And I talk one-on-one with our business owners. I see our community every day in our stores. And I hear from them every day. I'm out there in the community driving around. And I see how much they're hurting. So as a police chief in charge of 100-plus police officers, I felt it was just incumbent upon me just to let them know and my community know that we're not going to basically enforce some of these executive orders, which I feel are basically draconian.
There you have it. And that rebellion is spreading across the country, folks. It is. People have had enough. Can you imagine asking a police officer to knock on people's doors of their house on Thanksgiving Day, and we're here to do a head count?
Yeah. Welcome to China. Yeah. Right. You know, this. It's as if these governmental officials want to crush the American spirit.
Yeah.
Because all of the actions they're taking, not only are they unconstitutional, not only do they not make sense and not work, but they're aimed at crushing the very things Americans enjoy. Work, school, extracurricular activities.
Family gatherings.
And family gatherings. And by the way, you can't go see
and
your
church.
Church, and you can't go see your grandmother.
Yeah, because she's in the nursing home and you need to tap on the window, tell her you're there.
Right.
I agree with you guys. I think we're all in agreement here, and I think Americans in general have had it. We see businesses that are barely making it or closing down. People losing, you know what I'm saying? People losing hope for a virus, which I'm not an expert by any means, but let me tell you what I do know. You're not going to stop a virus like this. I'm talking about stop it by sitting there like you're on a looking at a video game going, well, if I move this over here and I put mask over there and we have school out over here, then maybe we'll stop it from going over there. That time is over.
Well,
if it ever existed in the first place.
If it ever existed, nothing we've done has made that much difference.
Mask or no mask doesn't make any difference on the spread of the virus.
Right. The virus has a, quote, mind of its own. It's going to go where it's going to go.
Right.
And the best long-range hope for it, I suppose, is, number one, that it's going to move through a certain percentage of the population. We're going to get to herd immunity, which you would think we have got to get there at some point. And the other thing is these vaccines, they are going to make a difference down the road.
Yes.
It's hard to believe that another lockdown is going to do anything at all to, quote, flatten the curve. We tried that and it really didn't work.
You're not going to stop a virus like this by trying to manipulate. I was hearing a story the other day about a kid at school got COVID, like a 13-year-old, all right? They made the whole, one kid got COVID. Nobody else had any symptoms. They made him go home, quarantine, obviously. I can understand that. Then they made the whole basketball team he played on quarantine for two weeks. Mm-hmm. Then they made everybody he sat by in class quarantine, unsymptomatic. And I'm just saying, this is insanity. How long are you going to go on doing that kind of thing?
Right.
And it doesn't even affect kids, hardly at all,
right,
health-wise. So we're going to be doing this for another year or two. Imagine what I've just said. One scenario, one kid has to stay home and then causes others to go quarantine, and then their circle goes to quarantine, and then everybody has to learn online. Everybody has to and people don't have high-speed internet. You can't focus because you got dogs barking in the background. You're telling a 6-7-year-old, hey, you need to focus on this video on the internet for an hour. And then mom and dad have to take off work for, you know, if they have job. It disrupts
everything.
It's, well, I'm saying, for what?
Right.
But I'm not saying COVID isn't real. It is real.
Right.
It's a real virus. and it puts some people in the bed for a few days. Rarely kills people.
Right. Yeah.
But if you can protect your most vulnerable, that is people who have comorbidities, is that what you call it?
Yeah, and I think that's been the people who are taking a common sense approach to this recognize, even governors, that the goal here should be to protect the vulnerable. But as far as kids who, if they get it, hardly affects them at all, disrupting their entire life and the lives of all kind of kids who don't even have it is unnecessary.
I'd like to play you some audio of a congressman you probably never heard of, Congressman Tom McClintock. He's from California, and he's had it, like so many Americans. He's had it with this nonsense.
He's had COVID or he's had it with the nonsense?
He's had it with the nonsense.
Okay.
And particularly his governor out there, Gavin Newsom, who, you know, the story last week, Gavin Newsom says, you know, no more than 10 people gathered, masks, the whole thing.
Unless you're having dinner with me.
Unless you're having dinner with me, y'all come and don't bring your mask.
$200, $200 or $300 an entree restaurant he was at,
yeah.
Shoulder to shoulder, no mask on.
Yeah.
Got pictures of it. And this guy is dictating to his state how many people they can have over for Thanksgiving.
I know. Well, here's what Congressman Tom McClintock had to say about this. He got up in the House last week, and he let her rip. Cut number two.
Mr. Speaker, I rise this morning in defense of Governor Gavin Newsom, who recently defied his own idiotic COVID edicts as he partied at one of the few restaurants that's not yet been forced out of business. I defend him because he was doing what we once all did in a free society, make our own decisions over what risks we're willing to run and what precautions we're willing to take according to our own circumstances to protect our own health. Only a fool would claim the omniscience to make an informed judgment for every person in every circumstance in every community. Yet sadly, this crisis has revealed that fools abound in public office and that a fool with power can quickly become a petty tyrant. Which brings us back to Governor Newsom. These government nannies love to tell us that they're just following the science. Well, what does this science actually tell us? It tells us that COVID poses virtually no risk to children, but can be severe among the elderly. So what did these lockdown leftists do? They closed all the schools and ordered infected patients into nursing homes. The science tells us that outdoor transmissions of the virus are extremely rare, and that 80% of infections occur in people's homes.
Yes.
So what did these lockdown leftists do? They closed our beaches, parks, and campgrounds and ordered people to stay at home. The science tells us that obesity is a contributing factor to the severity of the disease. So what did these lockdown leftists do? They closed all the gyms and kept the liquor stores open. I've wondered how much longer the American people are going to tolerate this nonsense. So let us not criticize Governor Newsom. Perhaps he's just offered us all deliverance from his own folly. The governor should make his own decisions about running his own life. I only ask that he and his ilk would stop telling the rest of us how to run ours. I yield back.
And you can hear a collective amen across the country.
That's
the
good
lockdown
stuff
right leftist. That's a good line.
Well, I tell you what, you know, it should trouble people, too, when it should trouble these governors. And not all the governors are doing this stuff, but the Democrat governors are. A lot of them are doing what Newsom's doing. But it should bother people that the police and the sheriffs have no confidence in this because they see it as anti-American and unconstitutional. What's going on with these edicts that are being put out by the governors and the health officials in these various states in response to COVID, which, by the way, let me remind us all here, a pandemic does not suspend the Constitution of the United States of America.
Right.
Nowhere in our Constitution does it say, you know, in case of a pandemic, forget all this. The governor tells you what to do and when you can do it. Right? The governor and mayors and so forth, they have emergency powers to But they don't extend indefinitely.
Right.
They don't extend for months.
Then it's not an emergency anymore. By definition, no. An emergency is a short term.
Then if you want to change something in your state that is constitutional within the bounds of the U.S. Constitution, then those governors must appeal to their state legislatures so that the people who live in those states can have a say in what they're being told to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever regulations that the governor wants to have implemented, the people have a right to have an influence with the state representatives and the state senators and such.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
But these ongoing edicts is what I call them, pronouncements.
Yeah.
By governors about what you can and can't do. You can't do that. You just can't do that.
Right.
You have to have the authority of your state legislature after the emergency date has passed, and that's different in various states. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Walker, Ray, and Fred. Hey, real quickly, Ray, you got an Advent special
Absolutely.
On your website?
Yes. If people come, check us out, keepbelieving.com. We've put together an Advent devotional series that it's called Great Joy, from the words of the angel in Luke 2, good news of great joy, which will be for everyone. So 25 Advent devotionals that start on December the 1st and go through December the 25th, all of them from the Gospel of Luke. So we're going to go back and take a look at Christmas and the message of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. And people can download the ebook. We've got it for Kindle. We've got it in EPUB. We've got it in PDF format. There's a devotional for each day, a prayer, and then a link to a YouTube Christmas song that goes with the devotional for that day. So anyway, surf on over to keepbelieving.com, and right there on the front page, it'll say download your free copy of Great Joy. Take you right to the links, and you can download it, and it's free. Free at keepbelieving.com.
Excellent. Fred, what you got? What's the next story you got?
Well, let's keep with the governor theme for just a moment here. Today, Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York. Now, we all know what's been going on in New York. New York City is a war zone. Most of it shut down. I was listening to an interview with Geraldo Rivera the other day. He stayed in a hotel in New York this past weekend. He was the only guest. Place is boarded up. There's violence in the subway system. But Governor Andrew Cuomo today is going to get an Emmy Award. No kidding. He's getting an Emmy Award. You know what he's getting the Emmy Award for? They think he did an absolutely terrific job with his little daily COVID updates that he was giving early on of all the great things he was doing. I don't think they're probably going to mention during the Emmy Awards today of the fact that he put infected people into nursing homes.
Right.
And over 6,000 people died in New York nursing homes. Well, two of the people who died were the in-laws of Janice Dean. You see her doing the weather on Fox. Her husband's parents both died. Well, she had a few things to say this morning about the governor of that state, Andrew Cuomo, getting an Emmy Award. Cut number 9.
I heard that to get an Emmy Award, you have to send videotape of yourself to the board members. And so to think that the governor was going through some of his TV appearances talking about deaths in New York and submitting those videos to the Emmy folks really makes me physically sick.
Yeah, she lost both her in-laws in that. And she has testified before Congress. You know, we talk about justice being done because of the decisions been made. I wonder if justice will ever be done with Governor Andrew Cuomo, because he thinks he did a pretty good job during COVID.
Yeah, you know, you mentioning about him staying at the hotel by himself, basically, because it's probably because people have fled New York City.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on with Gavin Newsom going to dinner when no one else can and things like that? It reminds me of what happens in dictatorships and in totalitarian governments, where the governmental officials have it good, they have it made, they can do whatever they want, and they have unlimited resources, and the little people don't get to benefit from that. They don't have access to that those type of luxuries, which is something I never thought I would see in America.
You know, I've heard it mentioned a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, especially with another shutdown going on across the country, people losing their jobs this Thanksgiving. Point being made, you know, the people making these decisions, these politicians, they're all getting their paychecks every 2 weeks. Their paychecks are not in jeopardy.
If you were to shut down their paychecks, watch how quickly they'd open the business back up.
Exactly. Huh? Exactly.
You know, so again, as we mentioned before, this is not to, we're not showing any disrespect to the quote virus, COVID. It is real. It does affect people's health. But we now know it's not lethal in any real sense. What is the death rate?
Depends on what age category. I mean, when you get up to 70 plus, it gets up into 95-96%. Survival rate. That's for high risk people. But if you get down into children, it's like 99.9% something.
Yeah. So
it's extremely, the vast majority of healthy people are at extremely low risk for dying or getting seriously ill from this virus.
Yeah. So the consequences of shutdowns, lockdowns, constantly quarantining people who are not, symptomatic.
Right.
The consequences of doing that have their own problems, right, that we mentioned here. You're listening to, you're talking about suicide rates, you're talking about alcoholism, you're talking about
poverty,
depression, you're talking about drug addiction, you're talking about latchkey kids then, you're talking about people losing their jobs because they don't know what to do because their kids aren't going to school and they can't go to work.
Malnutrition.
All kind of psychological problems. There's a host of other issues that are unintended consequences, I think, of shutdowns and lockdowns that Americans are realizing now, and they're just saying, you know, we're not going to do this anymore like this. President Trump said something really practical, I think, in the last debate they had, the second debate. He said, we're just going to have to learn to live with the virus and make the best of it, but go on with our lives. And I think that is the feeling of the vast majority of people in this country. Mm-hmm. That's why I think President-elect, don't email me, people, Biden, if he is to be President-elect,
right,
if they certify the vote and everything, remember he got backlash from last week from saying another national lockdown, and he had to come out and say, no, we're not going to do that.
Right.
Biden did, because the pressure was so great from people, I think, across the country. Mm-hmm. They're not going to tolerate that, and I think he knows that. All right, Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, you're probably going to see some stories today on the third major COVID-19 vaccine shown to be effective and cheaper. This one out of London, AstraZeneca, said Monday that the late-stage trials showed its coronavirus vaccine was up to 90% effective. And, of course, we've already had two other companies, Moderna and Pfizer, in the last week have also announced. You know, I've been perusing some of these mainstream stories on these vaccines and how quickly they're being developed. Not one mention of the fact that President Donald Trump, was behind. Operation Warp Speed. He really pressured these companies to come up with a vaccine, and they have done it in record time. Each of these companies now reporting 90% effective for these vaccines. And they're hoping to have millions of these doses of these vaccines ready within 3 or 4 weeks.
Are you going to take them? Take it, Fred.
Am I going to take the vaccine? You know, I haven't done the flu vaccine ever, and I probably won't do this one.
Walker?
Yeah, no, because I'm not in a category to be at risk from this or the flu, I have no really incentive to take it.
Well, we're all at risk for the flu. You mean for the flu?
Yeah, well, if it's something that I'm going to get the sniffles and a cough and maybe a fever for a day, I don't think that's worthy of
getting, I think the flu vaccine is only like, what, 40% effective? I think I read that.
Depending on what year it is.
Ray, go ahead. You going to get this COVID
vaccine? You know,
it's
interesting. Just a few days ago, I was in to see my doctor for a checkup, and I asked her that very question because Marlene and I have been discussing this, and I said, I don't mind taking it, but I don't want to be in the front of the line. You'll have somebody else go first. And she said, if I were you, I wouldn't take it in the first wave. She said, you're pretty healthy, and which I took as a compliment, my doctor. And right. She said, look, if I were you, I'd get in the back of the line for the second wave. If everything looks good at that point, go ahead and take it then. And that's probably what we'll do. I mean, I'm 68 now, reasonably good health, but I'm moving up into that, you know, that upper category there. Yeah. So, yeah, probably at some point I will, assuming the first people who take it turn out okay.
I've never taken the flu shot either, like Fred's mentioned. Did you get the flu vaccine?
I do.
Yeah.
Right. You do?
I've only started the last couple of years taking it. Again, it's sort of age-related precaution.
As I said before, I don't mind taking the flu vaccine, but they're going to change it, the name, to not get the flu vaccine, flu shot, and then I'll consider it. They're going to change the name there, semantics. I've never had it either. I've had the flu, what, two times in 20 years?
I think this COVID vaccine is much more, it's seeming much more compelling than because of what could happen if you're in a high-risk category with coronavirus. If it can be consistently proven that it's 90-plus percent effective and you're someone in the high-risk category, maybe in your 80s, and are you have various underlying conditions. I mean, it would make sense for people to get it if you're talking about a 90-plus percent.
No, yeah. I may get it. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But like Ray said, you kind of don't want to be one of the first ones to get it.
And yeah. So, look, we've got three vaccines now that are going to come to the market pretty soon. And I asked my doctor, so what? How am I even supposed to choose?
Right.
Go to the store? Give me a little. Give
Ford,
me a little
Chevy, or
Pfizer.
Toyota.
Mix two of them together. Well, they're not going to do that. But how do we even decide? And my doctor said, you know, in some places, you're only going to get one choice. So that's what you, I don't know.
Also, isn't a lot of this based on the old American expression, ching, ching? I mean, somebody's making a killing off this, right?
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah.
And they should, because they risk a lot, these companies, to come up with this vaccine at such a record pace. So they're expecting to be rewarded financially, and they will be. I don't know if you have
and
stock.
Some of them already have been, just to get it developed. They
if
were.
You have stock in those companies, you know, you're probably going to do really well.
Well, I think the other thing that'll happen, too, there's going to be a debate on this. Are workers going to be forced to take it as a condition of their job?
Right.
That is the next big civil rights
constitutional
question right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh? Yep. Because that's going to be a big deal right there.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
You know, who's going to say, show us your COVID
papers.
Your vaccine
show us
card.
Your COVID vaccine card.
What did the airlines say? You want to get on the plane?
Yeah.
But they're not requiring it now?
Well, it's not out yet.
I know.
It's not out.
I know, but what I'm saying is they're allowing people to fly now without a vaccine. Why would you say you must have one?
Well,
I would think.
They'll say it's available now, so we're going to require it.
All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.